The Stat Zone, eSports Podcast.
Welcome to the Stat Zone eSports Podcast. Thanks very much for listening to us. This is our second eSports podcast. We're going to cover everything to do with FIFA eSports over the past couple of weeks or so, as the best FIFA 19 players in the world continue to do battle in a bid to qualify for the FIFA eWorld Cup later on in the year. If you don't know me by now, my name's Alex. I'm the eSports and Fantasy Coordinator at the Stat Zone, and joining me around the table are the usual suspects. First off, our Content Manager, Tristan. Hi.
Hello there.
And our Chief Data Scientist, Tim, as well.
Hiya.
Right. First up on the agenda, let's get straight into it, shall we? It's the most recently completed major tournament. It was completed 10 days ago. The conclusion of the third FIFA eClub World Cup, third time this tournament has taken place. It's an annual event. It took place at Sky Studios in London. It took place there in the inaugural FIFA eClub World Cup a couple of years back, returning to Sky Studios. It's a change from the norm, of course, this tournament, as players teamed up representing their respective clubs and competing in teams of two rather than just as individuals like they normally would. So, Tristan, I'll come to you first because you were there at the event. So, give us your immediate thoughts on proceedings there in London.
Yeah, I was there. You might have seen me try to get onto the stream a number of times in the background.
Yeah, we saw you lurking behind Christian Fuchs.
Yeah, that was me. But no, I really enjoyed it. It was a great event. One of the FIFA majors, as they're calling it. A couple of key takeaways for me that really stood out. So you did mention there, Alex, the 2v2. The 2v2 games in particular were quite a unique aspect of it. So obviously both on the same team, offered a different dynamic to matches, and you saw a lot of sort of camaraderie on show, a lot of wild celebrations between teammates. I know, Tim, you think this might become more commonplace in the future in other events because of the success of it?
Yeah, I really do. Though from watching it on the stream, in terms of watchability, that by far for me was, you know, much more interesting than the one-on-ones. You know, seeing how they react to each other, seeing how they get on, don't get on when things go wrong, it made for much more compelling viewing than just a one-on-one fixture.
Yeah, I think no team encapsulates that more than Ajax. Just the sort of passion that they show. I could hear Danny screaming all over the studio just whenever a goal went in, whether it was him or it was his teammate Joey. They just, and even the single player games, when it was, you know, one of the PS4 or Xbox games, the teammate was just behind them giving them pep talks, and perhaps a lot of it that didn't really come across, or you might not have seen on the stream, is a little team talks they'd have at half time or between matches, just little pep talks. There's a lot of that going on. That's kind of a different dynamic to the single player tournaments that you see a lot.
Did you notice a difference maybe between certain teams? Obviously Ajax themselves, they are a team. Danny and Joey know each other very well. They've teamed with each other a lot. But then there are other teams that were made up, you know, of potentially loanees or pickups, you know, teams that have been, you know, loaned to another club just for an event. Did you see maybe the difference in terms of that between those clubs and then the likes of Ajax and Danny and Joey, who know each other well, know how each other play? Did that come off at the event?
Yeah, for Ajax, I mean, Joey and Danny, you never saw them apart. You see, even when they weren't playing, they were sort of chilling out together. They were just chatting to each other as a team, talking about FIFA. Whereas some other teams, I mean, even the eventual winners, King Esports, you didn't really see Tex and Nicholas spending too much time together. And that could have just been, from my perspective, they might well have. And I'm sure they would have done some prep. But it was only really during the matches that they were communicating. And it didn't really seem to affect them, as we found out. They've got the talent to get themselves through. But there's Man City as well. They're another team that they seem quite close knit.
Yeah.
So that's not always a recipe for success. Obviously, you need the ability, and the dream team, as we called them in the last podcast, ultimately ended up winning. So I think I'm looking forward to seeing that again in the E-Nations Cup in April. Whether they or not they introduce the 2v2, I'm not sure.
Could you see it happening? We talk about the E-Nations League also. You're seeing countries, you know, make their own team of esports players. France are a good example. You know, eFoot de France, you know, are recruiting, getting all these French players in, and then they're all going to play against each other, and they're going to select, you know, group. You've got the E-Devils as well, Belgium, where Stefano Pina, of course, plays a large part in that as well. So could we, you know, be seeing, you know, more international tournaments, international friendlies, etc., with 2v2 involved?
I'd hope so. I mean, this one was televised on Sky on the Sunday as well, so there's a bit of exposure there. And I think it was a success, because it does offer something different to the Foot Champs and the LQEs, that sort of team dynamic. The French, as you mentioned, the France players there, I went for Team Vitality to win. Unfortunately, they got knocked out in the group stage, but we couldn't have all picked King Esports.
I was the lucky one to pick them.
And Team Vitality's other two on loan ended up in the final and for Dijon.
True.
Says it all, that really. It's just the game, isn't it? That's just how it goes. You know, it's all about who turns up on the day. And obviously those two had a great connection about them. You know, Mulza and Hirozia played very well and fully deserved their spot in the final. They beat some good teams to make it. They beat Manchester City in the quarterfinals. They beat FaZe in the semi-finals. FaZe, of course, took down your picks, Ajax, in the penalty shootout, which is a cruel way for Danny and Joey to exit the tournament, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. But I think once it reaches that stage, it's really anyone's game. I mean, Ajax Danny was off the high from the previous tournament, beating Emis Desari on penalty shootouts and knocking out my pick that time. And I seem to be picking picks that are going out on penalty shootouts week after week. So no doubt whoever I pick for the next tournament coming up, they'll be getting eliminated on a penalty shootout once again.
Yeah, a quick mention as well for no Fuchs given. Christian Fuchs' esports team, Tristan, you know, you saw them in action and they were eliminated in heartbreaking fashion in the groups as well.
So
it was
close.
A great run for them.
Yeah, no, it was another highlight for me. Having a player like Christian Fuchs there, a Premier League footballer, there was a real buzz around the place. Everyone wanted to interview him. And his sort of passion, he was so into it. You know, he was living and breathing every single kick of the ball. Whether it was Sean Allen playing or Mohamed El Basha, he was on the edge of his seat there and just living and breathing it. So it was good to see that kind of energy from him. And that came across, that was really sort of infectious in the studio. So yeah, good to see a kind of high-profile figure like that getting involved in FIFA esports.
He's a Premier League winner.
Yeah, and hopefully
Premier League
we'll see
winner
more
involved.
Of that.
Yeah, how can you not? It's just sad though how they went out. You know, of course, in the final game and went to the last match. And
really interesting narrative with that team as well. Obviously, they were the 2016 FIFA World Cup finalists playing against each other in that quite historic game. But now they're teaming up, and yeah, it was disappointing not to see them reach the knockout stages. But hopefully, we'll see them back again.
Yep, right. Let's mention King Esports then, of course. The best PS4 player on paper, teaming up with the best Xbox One player on paper, according to the Global Series rankings. Nicholas and Tex, they were my picks to win. I couldn't really pick anyone else. I was worried about whether they would be able to adapt to a 2v2 environment. You know, Nicholas is English is good, but, you know, not perfect. And I was worried, you know, whether their gameplays, you know, would hurt each other, you know, playing in a 2v2. That was my biggest worry for them. I knew that they would win most of their individual matches. And ironic as it is, you know, a lot of their games went to that last 2v2 game and they came through and they teamed up really, really well together. I think they definitely surprised me, even though they were the favourites. They were a big surprise in how they played 2v2.
Yeah, they had a bit of a wobble early on, actually. And it looked like there might be a surprise early. They might exit the tournament early, but they really pulled through. You saw quite often that one of them would lose the single player games, as you mentioned there. So Tex might lose them the first game, but then Nicholas would pull it back and they'd even up for the doubles, and sometimes vice versa. So they really brought themselves through there. They didn't both perform at the top of their game throughout the tournament, but because of their sort of combined talent, I suppose, that always got them that third game. And they ended up qualifying from the group quite convincingly. And then in the knockouts, they were just the best team, weren't they? The best individual players. And as you say, teaming up, they managed to find a kind of synergy there. So fully deserved winners.
Have to mention the first leg of that final, of course. It was Nicholas going up in that final, and he won it 2-0. It makes it so, so difficult for the opponents, you know, to come back, doesn't it?
You're going to see these guys competing against each other. Tex and Nicholas have faced each other, I believe, already this season. And two of the top players are always reaching the last stages of these tournament rounds, so they know each other's game even better now. So going into these the rest of the foot champs throughout the year, will they pick up on a few little things that they notice from playing with each other? So it does offer a new kind of level of depth to the knowledge they have about each other.
Yeah, of course, Dijon wants to win, but I'm sure they'll look back at it, they'll be very, very happy with the second place finish. They were both weren't too high on the Global Series rankings. Well, that's changed because they both picked up 850 Global Series points respectively, along with a $20,000 prize for runners-up. Nicholas and Tex, not that they need them, have gained 1,500 Global Series points each.
It's safe to say that Tex is qualified.
We'll be seeing those two in the in the playoffs and probably the World Cup as well.
I think the other players will be hoping they might take a couple off now, give them a chance to to build up their own point stack, but it's not going to be that way. I mean, Texas,
going to be disappointed, aren't
they? Are. Texas still qualifying for every tournament going. He's just
got just cleaning out the prize
money. Can't he just give other people a chance? How dare he? And $40,000 as well for King Esports there. They pick it up. But very well played to them, and congratulations to them. I must say, very happy. Keeps my record at predicting players and clubs to win at a respectable level.
Took a real shot in the dark there.
I know, right? And I'm going to take another real shot in the dark with our next big major tournament, because that leads us to this weekend. And that leads us to the E-League Foot Champions Cup. I believe this is the fourth Foot Champions Cup of the season so far, and it's taking place in Atlanta, in the USA. Mm. We're going across the Atlantic Ocean and into Atlanta to play. I'm interested, I'm excited, because I'm looking at this field in front of me and it's a very exciting field. There are a lot of good players in, all the big guns are there. This is going to be a difficult tournament to predict. A cash pool of $100,000 is on offer, $50,000 for the winner, and of course the Global Series points are there too. So let's talk about the players that are gonna be there. We've said the main players are there. I've said Emma Stasari, Nicholas, and Tex is going to be there. It's that point where we start to talk really about predicted players. And so, Tristan, I'll go to you again first. And
if I get first pick, then I'm going to go straight in there and say that Tex is going to win his third. Well, it's his fourth tournament of the year. Third single player. So, you know, he's the man to beat. Over 6,000 Global Series points now. He doesn't seem to be tailing off. You know, we saw last year he won a Foot Champs early. Didn't really do much for the rest of the year. Didn't qualify for the E-World Cup 2018. But this year he's just been at it. You know, there's been new patches coming out. He's adapted his game. He's just coming off another major in the Club World Cup with Nicholas. And he's just the man to beat. His stats speak for themselves. I mean, he's played 48 single-player matches in this FIFA 19 cycle. He's won 41 of them. And that's a win percentage of 85%. So it's really hard to argue against him. Whoever he's playing, he has to be seen as the favourite for me. He's averaging over 2.5 goals per leg. And that's not even per game, per leg. So he's just scoring on a consistent basis. His defence is on point. He's won over $100,000 of prize money already in the FIFA 19 cycle, and we'll get on to prize money later. It's one of our topics, but I'm going with the easy route, Tex to win.
See, I don't think it's as easy a route as you're saying this time around. I mean, Tex, you know, the stats you say there definitely normally would be the man to beat, but this is the first tournament being held outside of his time zone. You know, he's traveling over to Atlanta 5 hours earlier. Nicholas on the PS4 side is used to coming back and forth. The players that are already based in America, they're not going to have to deal with any sort of jet lag. Tex this time, he's playing 5 hours earlier. How is he going to cope with that side of it?
He did mention in a couple of tweets before the E-Club World Cup, actually, that the constant travelling was taking its toll a little bit, but didn't really affect his play at the E-Club World Cup. He's had 2 weeks off now when it comes to the Atlanta. So, yes, it might be a factor, but I just think his ability will shine through. But if you've got another player you think is going to outperform him, Tim, hit me with it.
Well, I mean, I mentioned Nicholas there, but unlike you, Tristan, I'm not going to go for the obvious choice in Nicholas, although I do think he's one of the favourites to win. Instead, I'm going to go for his fellow Argentinian, the player that used to be known as 9Z Iago, but since then he's left 9Z, and he's now affectionately known on the FIFA.gg rankings as BE7HKE_ARB.
Catchy.
So it just rolls off the tongue. So
I won't forget that one.
That's an interesting pick, though. You're going away from the familiar faces. Personally, me and Tristan are looking at each other, thinking Tim's just being.
He's lost
Tim,
the plot.
Lost the plot.
He must have some kind of reason
justify
for that.
This.
Yeah, well, he's only qualified for the one tournament so far this year. That was the Foot Champs 2, held in London. He beat Joksan in that tournament in the quarterfinals, 8-3. So it shows that he's very much capable of pulling it out and delivering a defeat to one of the major players. He's ranked highly on our own personal rankings, and so they've got a special place for me. So I've gone for them. He's ranked fifth there, only 28th in the FIFA Global Series. So I'm picking him out really as a product, as one of the players I've decided is one to watch.
So our algorithm is quite favouring him on. So our Stat Zone rankings are available on our website.
He is, yeah, and he's got good underlying stats. So in that tournament, he's scored 2.91 goals per leg, so more than Tex. He's conceded on average just 1.86 goals.
This is a player that, you know, has proven himself, as you say. He's had a run-in before. He's shown that he's capable of pulling off a big shock. But really, you know, the ability to beat players such as Tex, such as MS Tassari, such as Nicholas, such as Stefano Pina, who, you know, has his first trophy under his belt now. It's a big ask, Tim. I've got to say, it's a big ask.
So, I'm confident in it. So Alex, who have you gone for then?
I've gone for MS Tassari. I've been boring. I've gone for MS Tassari. I think he's... first off, I think he's an outstanding player. And I know he's not in the UK, and I know he's not won many outside of the UK in terms of this season. But, you know, I do think, you know, I look at it and I think it's just, he's always proved himself. The last tournament he was part of, the FUT Champions Cup last month in London, he lost on penalties. He lost on penalties to Danny. He was Tim's pick. And I just think...
You predicted him to win that one, didn't you?
No, I didn't predict him to win that one. No, that was Tim who predicted him to win that one. Right. I predicted Stefano Pina, I think. But it's been a long break for him. It's been a long break for him since his last major. You know, it's been a while. And I think he's had time to stew on it. He's not, as I've said before, he's not competing in the LQEs. He's not competing in the LQEs because he doesn't feel like he needs to. He's just going to focus on the majors. He's going to accumulate his global series points from the majors. And as a result, he's going to be able to, you know, get the points required. If he keeps playing like he has from the start of the tournament, you know, he's going to get the points. And I think he is good enough to beat anyone there on that roster. Even on the Xbox, you know, he might end up having to go up against Tex, you know, in a console final. Or he might have to go up against, there are some other good players there. Goal Machine is going to be there on the Xbox. Megabit is there. Number one, is he on our
number one on our rankings, Megabit?
Yeah, Megabit's there. Tim Lacker's there. The Royals there, his Saudi Arabian teammate from Rogue. Marcus Gomez is there. Some good players on that Xbox list.
It's a who's who of FIFA 19 esports players, isn't it?
It's also a who's who of FIFA 18 esports, because a favourite of yours is also going to be there, Tristan. You want to explain who that is?
Well, this tournament is the return of the infamous Kurt.
I think we're all thrilled that Kurt's back.
I just can't wait to see how he gets on. He's kind of played down his chances a little bit, I think, on social media, but you know, is he going to be a bit rusty? He's not played in one of these big events since FIFA 18. He talks a big talk. And as an outside shot, I think he's worth looking at.
Regardless of how he gets on, he's always entertaining to watch.
Entertaining, he's a talent. You know, he's won some big games in the past. He's beaten pretty much all the big players at some point. It's a bit of an unknown, really, how he's going to fare on the FIFA 19 tournament stage. So he's been out of the game for a while. Let's see how he performs in Atlanta.
I'm expecting big things from him, really. I mean, I think I'm right in saying this is the only tournament he's qualified for. So if he's going to make those playoffs, he has to go deep in this tournament to pick up the amount of Global Series points.
It would be a great story, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would be a great story if he went and
I'm sure a story he'd happily tell as well.
Oh, absolutely. That's great. It's great for the scene. Picks up all those points and gets through to the playoffs. Then we've got a proper wild card, haven't we, in those playoffs? Someone that people will look at and think, uh-oh. Because he had a deep run in the E-World Cup last year, didn't he?
He gave us a great interview, actually, before the tournament as well. I think you interviewed him, Alex, for the website. He always gives you some sort of headline, doesn't he? So I'd be interested to see how
he's a journalist's dream, as they say.
Never sure of a soundbite.
Always gives you a line.
He's got one of the biggest social media followers as well among Twitter players. FIFA 19 players. So he brings a lot of exposure. A lot of his fans keeping a close eye on those streams this weekend.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with confidence at the end of the day. If you're confident, then you've always got a chance. We spoke about Kurt, a differential, a wild card. I want to bring up another differential, you know, wild card, and that is the 2017 FIFA E-World Cup runner-up, or FIWC as it was known, the runner-up, Dieter. Kai Wallin, who plays for Manchester City. He is a player that, quite frankly, has had a very poor season. It's not been his game. He's struggled.
Really struggles,
he's a veteran. He's a long-time veteran of the scene. You know, he's a defensive player, has always been known for a very strong defence. But it's just not seemed to happen for him this game. He's not qualified for enough major tournaments, if ever. He's not qualified for major tournaments post this event this weekend. You know, we've embedded a tweet of his into our preview article of the event, which you can find on our website, thestatzone.com, you know, on our eSports Zone.
Great plug, Alex.
Yeah, thank you. But Dieter he didn't make it, you know, to the Champions Cup next month and the month after. So this is really a last chance for him in Atlanta to get the Global Series points that will take him to the playoffs, mm-hmm. and then potentially from the playoffs he can get the Global Series points to take him to the eWorld Cup finals. He's a top player. He has proven in the past that on his day, he can beat anyone. And I just feel like because no one's seen him for a while, he might just come up and surprise a few people. And I've put him in, you know, as one of our players to watch. I really do feel that if anyone could get through a rut, it would be a player like him with his experience, because he has the experience. He's been through this before, you'd imagine, you know, bad runs. And now he has an opportunity, you know, when the pressure's on the big stage, on stream, you know, you're looking at players with his experience to perform. And I just feel like that he could possibly make it happen.
Potentially a bit of a nostalgia pick there, Alex, but we'll see. He does have the history behind him, the pedigree.
Potentially a nostalgia pick, yes, but you know, absolutely, he might flop. I'm not saying he's going to go all the way and win it. I don't think he will go all the way on and win it. I predicted Desari, but I think if you're looking at a player that's going to make, you know, a late run, like a long run in this tournament to like the semi-finals or the console final or someone, I think you've got to look at someone like him. Quickly going to run you down the format. It is Swiss style group stages yet again. Swiss style group stages, then the round of 16, quarterfinals, semi-finals, console finals, and the grand final as well. 64 players, 32 on each console. And the winners take home 1,500 Global Series points for the winner, 850 for the runner-up, 625 third, fourth, 450 fifth to eighth, 275 for ninth to 16th, and 150 for 17th to 32nd. If you go out in the group stages, 33rd to 64th, you get nothing. So pressure is on. Important to get out those group stages, isn't it, Tim? You know, get those wins under your belt early on, and that gives you the momentum to go further.
Yeah, I'm just seeing that for the first time, actually. I'm surprised that there's no Global Series points for reaching the competition. You know, it sort of means all that work they've put in qualifying kind of doesn't really mean a lot if you get knocked out in the group stages.
Well, it's ruthless.
It's ruthless.
It's unnecessarily ruthless.
The pressure is on, but it is what it is. We look forward to it, of course, being sponsored by E-League in Atlanta. It will be live as well on E-League's official Twitch channel as well. You can keep an eye on all their social media pages as well.
Yeah, we've got a link to, in your article, Alex, a link to all the streaming videos that you can find, and that's currently pinned to our Twitter profile page if you want to have a look.
Yeah, okay. Right, we've got a bit of time before we wrap this up. So we are going to touch on a topic that has taken a bit of a priority within the FIFA esports community scene. And that, and I've mentioned it earlier in terms of the cash ball, but it is about prize money. FIFA players online, on social media, have recently, you know, started to express real disappointment at the current amount of prize money that's been given, you know, by EA Sports in big tournaments, in Global Series tournaments, like LQEs, for example, or Foot Champs Cups. You know, players, especially free agents, you know, because free agents don't have, you know, a club funding, you know, their travel and their accommodation and anything like that. You know, so especially free agents are making a loss, you know, because it's costing a lot of money to travel to the likes of Atlanta, you know, to Singapore as well. Next Foot Champs Cup's going to take place in Singapore. You know, players that live, you know, in Europe or maybe all the way in South America, travelling to London for LQEs, etc. They're not getting their money back because the prize money isn't, you know, isn't very big. I wanted to talk about that, Tristan. I'm going to ask you about it first. You know, the prize money for LQEs, you're looking at, you know, around $3,750 for the runner-up, and for third and fourth place in the LQEs, it's been $2,500. But if you don't finish within the top eight, then you don't get any money at all. So really, do you feel like this is a fair amount of money for 32 players, you know, from all around the world coming to a certain location to be competing for?
Well, there's two sides of the coin, really, Alex. I mean, you look at someone like FC Tex, who's obviously, we know, he's won a few tournaments. He's pocketed over $100,000 of prize money on FIFA 19 alone. He's got to be pretty happy with his work there. But if you're not reaching the finals or the semi-finals, then it is a bit of a struggle. So, you know, Kurt was quite vocal on Twitter recently complaining about the prize money. He said, you know, imagine an up-and-coming player finishes in the top eight at a major tournament and just gets $750. Now, does that really cover the travel costs and the hotel costs for some of these players, especially the free agents? You know, sometimes they have to fund these trips themselves, especially if they're flying across the world, like a Webb might be, who's qualified for a lot of tournaments, or a Nicholas. Now, luckily, he's been fortunate enough to reach the latter stages. So that there is money there, but it's a drop in the ocean compared to other esports, Alex.
And exactly. Figures there. Yeah, and, you know, let me just do a few recent comparisons. Of course, the FIFA World Cup Grand Finals that was held at the O2 Arena last year, you know, it was a total prize pool in that tournament alone of $400,000. It's a good it's a great pool, $250,000 for the winner, of course. But let me compare, you know, prices over a full season. Fortnite, you know, it was $20 million over last season. This season now, the 2018-19 season, Epic are giving away $100 million in prize pool for Fortnite competitive. You look at, you know, Call of Duty, you know, the World League, $6 million over the Black Ops 4 season. That includes $2 million for the COD World League Championships, the main tournament there, their E-World Cup, so to speak. You've got, you know, Dota 2, $41.26 million prize pool over the 2018 season. That's dollars. And Counter-Strike Global Offensive, $22.47 million over 2018. And League of Legends, $14.12 million over the 2018 season. And I think if you compare that to FIFA, having done, you know, I've done a bit of maths and looking at the prize pool of all the 2019 season so far, and that's including the Foot Champs Cups, the LQEs, the Club World Cup, Continental Cup, etc. You know, I've got overall, adding it all together, I've come up together with a total prize pool of around the $1 million mark, I think just over $1 million. And, you know, compare that to the rest. Now, I know there's still, we've still got a lot of tournaments to go. We've got the Global Series playoffs, you know, the E-Nations Cup, the E-World Cup final, of course, that take place at the end of the year. And that's not including all the domestic leagues and the prizes that come through there. But you do feel like it's just a bit low compared to all these other esports, Tim. And if FIFA want to get to that level of all those other big esports, they have to, you know, accommodate prize money wise.
I think they do, yes. I mean, FIFA in comparison to these other esports that you mentioned is much more in its infancy. They don't have the global fan base behind them to perhaps afford to be able to give out this level of prize money. Having said that, I don't really think it's the top players. Tristan spoke about Tex winning 100,000. Nicholas is up on 50,000 prize money. It's not these top players that are struggling. It is the ones that are qualifying for the events. If you're promoting and you're trying to grow and esports, you can't be in a situation where players are having to spend their own money and are losing money after qualifying for the event. It's a situation that's not sustainable. It will just fall apart.
And it's not just esports. This happens in other sports as well, in snooker and darts and those kind of things, where the top players are making lots of money, but the I suppose the journeymen, so to speak, they're still pros. They're still putting the work in. Perhaps don't quite have the talent of the top players. Is it really sustainable for them? That's the problem.
I think the frustrating thing as well is that FIFA could be such a huge, massive global esport because everyone loves football. So many people in this world absolutely loves football. And it would be a dream, you know, if you put the opportunity for these people to, you know, to play FIFA for a living, to do it for a job. But to do that, you have to break in. And I think in the current setup and the current prize money, it makes it almost impossible for new players to come through and immediately, you know, try and make a living out of this. Because if you do, you have to
literally win the tournament.
Win a major tournament. And that's rare. That's so rare. You know, you look at, it can happen, of course. You look at F2 Tex. It happened for him. He came on the scene only at the start of last year.
Dylan Mike, you know, 16-year-old German. He's won over $50,000 so far in terms of the tournament. So that's a huge amount for someone of that age. But not everyone's going to be winning these
tournaments.
Exactly.
They're the minority. They're not the majority. And that's the important thing. The scene isn't going to grow. People aren't going to be encouraged to, you know, hop into the scene, and more players aren't going to come along, which isn't going to create, you know, as much competition as we want, which is going to encourage, you know, prize monies to increase and sponsorships to increase. EA Sports have done fantastically for FIFA, in my opinion, in terms of they've created, you know, the Global Series, loads of big new tournaments. They've really expanded it this year. But at the end of the day, it's time to take maybe that step to the next level. And in order to do that, you need the players. You need new players coming onto the scene on a more regular basis. And this is why I like the Premier League, you know, because the Premier League is putting together, you know, an opportunity for players that perhaps are not on the scene, aren't professional players, but have a chance to qualify for a major event, you know, at the Gfinity Arena at the end of March.
It seems strange to me that the different tournaments, particularly in the Foot Champs, they have a different prizing structure. So the two that have been held in Bucharest this season, they've had a £200,000 prize pool, whereas the one in London only 100,000. The one in London only played the top 8 places, which means of the 64 players qualified, 56 go home with nothing. You know, how can that be a reward for reaching what is meant to be close to the pinnacle of the tournament?
I think what we're getting at is, as well as an increase in prize money, it'd be nice to see more of an even more of a distribution down to the players that don't quite reach the end there. So a trickle down of the prize money as well as an increase overall.
Completely. I really feel the ones in Bucharest got it right. I mean, they paid $500 for everyone who got knocked out in the group stage. So even if you got there, didn't get him through to the knockouts, you were still getting 500, which maybe isn't enough for some of the players. You know, Nicola's coming from Argentina, one's coming from far away, but that will be covering the majority of travel expenses there. So the minimum requirement, I think you should be covering the travel expenses of the players getting out there.
Yeah, especially for free agents. Well, at the end of the day, not every player, especially coming through, you're not automatically going to get yourself an organisation or a club that's going to fund your travel and your hotel and everything. You know, you need to, or your FIFA points, you know, you need to earn your place. You need to earn your place in the ladder. If you do that, then you're more likely to get an opportunity and people are going to start to look at you. But the only way they can do that is to get to these events and to fund themselves, and that's difficult for them to do.
Even some established players at the moment are free agents, and look at Guerrilla, he's without a team at the moment, ex-world champion.
He's so struggling as well, four tournaments this year, just $3,000.
Yeah, so, you know, even if you are a name with a big social media following, it's still going to be tough to fund that, especially if you're without a team.
Yeah, Tim, we mentioned Webb as well. Webb has attended many tournaments from Japan, you know, lives in Japan, but hasn't been able, you know, to bring home enough prize money, and there are just so many players like him, you know, that have that problem, and it, you feel that it is an issue.
No, completely. I mean, five tournaments this season, $3,500, he's earning on average $700 a tournament. I mean, that's barely going to cover his flights and accommodation out here, and probably doesn't. So he's making a loss, an active loss, every time he comes and plays in one of these.
You remember that sometimes they come along with, you know, it might be friends, it might be a coach or so, but it's not just them travelling as well and the hotel costs, so it's all going to add up.
Yeah, absolutely. And you would hope that it will change, you know, as the players make noise about this, you would expect. It's only going up. Let's not forget this. It is only going up, and I expect it to rise even more next season. Next season, I think we'll see a genuinely a big rise, depending on the scenes. We're seeing, you know, tournaments being broadcasted on Sky Sports. You mentioned the E-Club World Cup was, you know, a day was on Sky. The E-World Cup, you know, at the O2 was on Sky. We're seeing, you know, Twitch views are going well. YouTube views are going well. And as this increases, sponsorships will increase, and you would hope that more money goes into the scene, and that as such benefits the players and allows us to get not only the competition that we want in FIFA esports, but the growth that we want in FIFA esports as well.
It's not like these other esports that you mentioned, League of Legends and Dota, they didn't start with this prize money overnight. You know, they built themselves up over a period of time, and I think FIFA is heading in that direction, but it still has a long way to go.
Okay, all right. With all of that, I think we'll leave it there. It's going to be an interesting weekend in Atlanta, the fourth Foot Champs Cup, the E-League Foot Champs Cup, as it's called. So once again, as I mentioned, please make sure to check out our preview of the event. Go to thestatzone.com and check out the Esports Zone, and you'll find the article there. You'll find this podcast attached to it as well, so you can't miss us. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you all again in 2 weeks' time when it's the Singapore Foot Champs Cup that takes place in 2 weeks' time. Exciting one there. But
yeah, that'll be our next one, yeah.
It will. Thanks very much, Tristan.
Thank you.
Tim, thank you very much.
Thanks.
And we will see you all very soon.
This podcast was brought to you by The Stat Zone.